لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير، الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور، الذي خلق سبع سماوات طباقا، ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت، فارجع البصر هل ترى من فطور، ثم ارجع البصر كرتين ينقلب إليك البصر خاسئا وهو حسير، ولقد زينا السماء الدنيا بمصابيح وجعلناها رجوما للشياطين وأعتدنا لهم عذاب السعير، وللكافرين عذاب جهنم وبئس المصير. If you look at children, right, and I guess even adults, they're very attracted by video games, right? And even on these iPhones, and you know, even on the smart feature phones and stuff, if you go to certain icons, you'll find that they come uploaded with certain games that you can begin off with. And I guess with, you know, iPhones, and then they have all these apps, and you can download them. And so there's this one game, supposedly it's called Fall Down, where there's a ball and there's different platforms, and you have to, as you move the phone, the ball moves down through those different platforms and it eventually goes through the holes, and you have to try to control the ball so it goes down. And the longer, and the screen starts moving up faster and faster, and the longer that you can keep the, you know, ball towards the bottom of the screen and not get squished, i.e. keep it falling down, then the higher your score will be. And, you know, you'll see that, you know, like my children will play the game, and then one person gets one score in the house, and then of course another person will want to beat that score, right? And so it becomes, so one person gets 230, and the person says, oh, I'm going to get 250, and the next person says, oh, I'm going to get 270. So it becomes a competition, right? When, what is the competition? The competition is who can, you know, control the ball the best and move it on the screen until it goes down. But then, you know, like my 8-year-old will have like a 300. I said, subhanAllah, he's getting a 300. And then other person says, well, I should have more than a 300. And so, you know, it becomes like, and really it's not something which is really significant. It's not going to change anyone's life. But there's this sense, right, that I need to one-up the other individual, right? I need to do a little bit better. So, you know, one person will get that score, and then he says, okay, then he beats it, and he has the high score there. So the person says, oh, now his score is the highest. And if you check like the global scores, right, there's some people who get up in the thousands. It's like a person can think, you know, gets astonished that someone can even think that fast or move their hand that fast, that they can, you know, get so high of a score. But, you know, when this came to notice that this, you know, trying to one-up one another when it comes to, you know, what would seem a silly game on a phone, you know, it really made me think about, you know, it makes you think about the ayah, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. That's exactly the attitude we should have in the deen. Because, you know, the deen is something that actually matters. Right? Whoever has, even the person who has the highest score in the world in Fall Down, I mean, on the day of Qiyamah, you can't cash that in for. What are you going to cash that in for? You can hardly cash it in the dunya for anything, much less the akhirah. But this, you know, this feeling of trying to be the best, of trying to one-up another, this is exactly the attitude that the mu'min should have in every walk of life, and particularly in the deen. Right? Particularly in the deen, I should say. And this was the psychology that Rasulullah ﷺ created in the Sahaba, right? It was actively created, It wasn't something that was just left to happen by chance. For example, when Rasulullah would motivate the Sahaba, that, you know, if you knew the reward that you would get for example, for giving the adhan, or for being in the first row for salah, then you would cast lots for that, right? If you knew the reward, for example, for making salah in jama'ah, for the fajr salah, you would come crawling to the masjid. So, you know, highlighting the rewards. When he would tell, for example, the sahaba that the mufarridun have gone ahead. He just said that. Now the sahaba start thinking, who are the mufarridun? Right? Because we also want to go ahead. Right? Well, there's an active process of creating a certain type of cognitive structure that would motivate people towards action. So, and the sahaba were like, who are the mufarridun? And he said, they are those who are profuse or abundant. So they asked, so the Rasulullah said, the Mufarridun have gone ahead. And the Sahaba asked, who are the Mufarridun? Right? Who are the people who have gone ahead? Who are these Mufarridun? Then he said, those are the ones who are excessive, right, in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this constant tarbiyah that Rasulullah, this constant training of the Rasulullah had inculcated in the Sahaba, right, created a positive pressure towards action and towards change in the life of the Sahaba. So much so that the poor Sahaba would come to Rasulullah ﷺ, and they would be, and this, the first riwayah of the Mufarridun, if I'm not mistaken, is in the Sahih of Imam Muslim. And so the Sahaba would literally come to Rasulullah ﷺ, the poor Sahaba, people who didn't have much wealth, people who didn't have much means, and they would come to Rasulullah ﷺ. And why would they come to Rasulullah ﷺ? Because they were worried that the wealthy Sahaba were getting in front of them. The wealthy Sahaba, they have money that they can spend in the cause of Allah. The wealthy Sahaba, they have, you know, means that they can use to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't have those means, and they're getting ahead. So what should we do? Right? They were not worried about a small ball moving down on the screen. They're worried about someone else getting ahead of them in the Akhirah. That someone else is scoring more points than me in the Akhirah. Right? They have, you know, they have, that person has the high score. Like when Umar radiallahu anhu, when Rasulullah had made the call, you know, when the call had gone out and they were collecting sadaqah, Umar radiallahu anhu, he brought half of everything he owned. So he thought he was going to get the high score that day, right? His name would be in the hall of fame of the high scores. When he came after that, when he came, he found that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had brought everything. Right? He brought everything. And he said that after that day, I knew I could not vibe with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Meaning that I'm no match for him. I'm never going to beat his score. Every time I'm going to get into competition, he's going to, you know, be ahead. Subhanallah. Right? Subhanallah. But then, so the Sahaba would come, and the poor Sahaba, and they would ask Rasulullah that, you know, we don't have to give in charity. And he says, hasn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a hasn't He made a way for you that you can, you say subhanallah, you'll get, it's the reward of charity. That you say, Allahu Akbar is the reward of charity. You say alhamdulillah, that's the reward of charity. You say la ilaha illallah is the reward of charity. You're enjoying good, that is, you get the reward of charity. You forbid evil, that is the reward of charity. Even the intimate relations you will have with your wife, you will get the reward of charity. And the poor Sahaba were, somewhat astonished. They said, how can we get a reward for even that thing that we enjoy? Right? That thing that we enjoy. And Rasulullah, he instructed them that, that you could have express that desire in a haram way, but since you're using it, you're taking the halal means for that, even that is rewarded. Even that is rewarded. So what did they do? There was already an attitude of competition. There was already an attitude of, getting ahead. And Rasulullah ﷺ, what did he do? He catalyzed that. He motivated that. He fed that in a positive way, right? Without creating animosity amongst them and with giving them hope, right? So fine, you don't have means, but you have the ability to do this. So try to get ahead by doing this, right? Someone might say, I'm not an alim. Right? A person might say, I'm not a sheikh. A person might say, I don't know Arabic. Well, it doesn't matter where you are or what stage you are. There's always something that you can do to get ahead. There's always something that you can do to earn points. That's the beauty of the Deen, that you don't have to, you know, have a special access code to join the game, right, and earn points. Anyone can get in the ring, and anyone can earn points. And it's so easy to earn points. You just say, Subhanallah, you earned a point. Right, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Say it 100 times. You're earning massive amounts of points. And really, when we talk about dhikr, it is one of the easiest. It is one of the easiest ways to earn a lot of points. So, you know, in this game, Fall Down, on some of the levels, they'll have these icons that come up. And if the ball rolls over that, it gives you plus 5 points. Right? You don't have to do anything special. You just have to roll over it. And you'll get extra points. And, you know, the same thing you see in all these car games too. You're driving on the, you know, the road, and the car goes and hits some type of you know, symbol, and you get, you know, 500 points bonus, and 600 points bonus, and 700 points bonus. I mean, the Deen has just created bonus after bonus after bonus for us. You take, for example, you read قُلُ اللَّهُ أَحَد 3 times, and you get the reward of reciting the entire Quran. What is that? That's like super, super bonus. Right? A person will say, well, I'm not a hafiz. Well, you can definitely read قُلُ اللَّهُ أَحَد 3 times, right? That doesn't, I mean, no one is sort of hindered from doing that. Those are our power-ups. Those are our power boosts. When a person says Subhanallah, when they get a, you know, a tree in Jannah, when a person says Alhamdulillah, and they're rewarded for it. The simple things that we can do, the simple things that we can do to really get ahead. And this is perhaps in one place very clearly highlighted in the beginning of Surah Mulk, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Tabaraka alladhi biyadihi al-mulk, wa hu ala kulli shay'in qadir, alladhi khalaqa al-maut. He is the one who created death. And this is in the riwayah of Ibn Abi Hatim, if I'm not mistaken, that, you know, Adhalallahu bani Adama bil maut, or kama qal, you know, man is subjugated with death. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut, as it comes in the Quran. You know, everyone has to die. There's no way around it. So Alladhi khalaqa al-maut wal hayat, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created life. So what is the point of living and dying? There has to be some point. If you know, if life is the, you know, start point of the game, right, and death is when the game gets turned off, then what's the point of the game? What is the goal? There should be some goal. You know, no one plays a game without some type of goal. If you're playing basketball, then you try to put the ball in the hoop. If you're playing football, you try to make a touchdown. If you're playing cricket, you try to, you know, hit a sixer. Whatever you're doing, you're trying to have some goal. So Allah, so a person will say that, fine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you created this quote-unquote game of life. What is the purpose? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it very clearly, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can test you. From this we can see that there's a sabab, there's a reason. أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. That which one of you is the best in their action. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to score points. But there's one fundamental difference between scoring points in the deen and scoring points on a video game. And, you know, I think, who was it? I'm forgetting the individual who pointed this out in this ayah. But he said, Subhanallah, look at in the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, Ayyukum aktharu amala. What does akthar means? Which one of you made the most amal? Which one of you made the most amal? That's not the game. The game is not to score the most points. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ahsanu amala. Right? Which one of you to make the best in your amal. So what is the difference? That you can score a lot of points, right? But that doesn't necessarily mean you win the game. Whoever scores the best points, they're the ones who win the game. So in the deen, sometimes, and if you look at the sahaba, and you look at their lives, there are people in their ummah, and there will be people in the ummah who will exceed the amal of the sahaba. There are people in this ummah who make more dhikr than the sahaba. There are people in this ummah, for example, and who came in later times, who read more Qur'an than the sahaba. They finish the Qur'an every single day, right? Even in the earliest generations, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah. I mean, you have so many stories. There are people in this ummah who may even pray more nafil than the sahaba. So, quote-unquote, they have scored more points, right? But no one will be better than the sahaba. Why? Because they were ahsanu amala. People in the later times, they were aktharu amala maybe, right? The righteous. But they can, even their 100 rakats of tahajjud cannot equal the 2 rakats that the sahabi prayed. Like their status, they were the best. right? Their actions were the best. Now, when a person comes into this type of mutual rivalry, right, there's one spiritual pitfall that sometimes arises. That people start becoming jealous. Right? So you have to temper it. That sometimes when a person sees someone doing too many good deeds, or someone becoming so good, and a person sees themselves as righteous. Shaitan deals with the people who are of fisk in one way, and he deals with the people of piety in one way. He tries to make both of them go down. When you're in pious circles, then Shaitan starts playing his own games. Right? So you're sitting and you're praying, Nafil or something like that, or you're wearing a turban, and another person walks into the masjid wearing a turban. You're saying, oh, he's wearing a turban too. You have a long beard and you see someone else walk in, and you're the only young person with a young beard. Someone else walks in with a long beard and, oh, he's probably just showing off, right? You're wearing niqab and you're the only niqabi in the whole time. Another sister starts wearing niqab, and then you start having doubts and you start having su'idhan and you start having this type of hasad. Right, this type of, having bad feelings. A person, for example, starts giving charity. Oh, and then you start having, some type of bad thun about them. And then a person corrupts their own intention in trying to beat them. Because then the person's sincerity comes into play. It's not for Allah's sake. They're just trying to put a leg up over the other person. When the Sahaba did it, right? That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say, أَكْثَرُ عَمَلًا أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. And the way you make your a'mal beautiful and you make them ahsan is by sincerity. You do it for Allah's sake, not for anyone's sake. Not so that you can be seen as the most righteous person in the whole masjid. Not that people can say, oh, subhanAllah, look at that brother, or look at that sister. I mean, what do we care about all of that? So a person has to be very careful. And that's why there's no, as it comes in hadith, that there's no hasad except for two people, right? One is the one who has, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, a certain type of knowledge, and then they expend it, roughly paraphrasing, and then the one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given wealth, and he spends in the cause of Allah. Now, if you look at the people who comment on the hadith, this hasad is not the normal hasad that you talk about. Because by nature, hasad is when you desire something that someone else has, and you desire that ni'mah to be taken away from them. Right? So if another person, for example, you're becoming an alim, and another person becomes alim, and you're like, well, why is he becoming an alim? So you want to be the only alim, and you don't want the other person to be an alim. That's not okay. And that's not sanctioned or condoned by this hadith. But if you're not becoming alim and you see someone becoming an alim and you say that, oh, I wish that I also can become an alim. Or you see someone spending in the path of Allah and you said, oh, I wish that I can also spend in Allah. You don't want Allah to take away that thing that that person has, but you also want that thing. Then what does that become? That's what we call a ghibta. Right? It's also, linguistically, you can use the word hasad to mean, but this type of what we call ghibta is permissible. Right? And it's something that we should have. The reason I bring this up is if you actually look a little bit deeper in that ayah that I actually read in the beginning of Surah Mulk, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسُنُ أَمْلًا. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can test who is the best of you in amal. A person might ask, well, why do I have to even play the game? Why do I even have to play the game? I don't care. I'll just fail, right? I'll die with 1 point. What's the point? I don't care. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَحْسُنُ أَمْلًا. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says right after, وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. Right, Allah is Aziz. If Allah is Aziz, right, nothing can stop him, then you better get into action. You better get in the game. But a person says, but I'm terrible at the game. I can't play very good. I keep on, no matter how much I try, I can't beat everyone else. I'm terrible. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Right after he's Al-Aziz, you better play the game. Azizul Ghafoor. Allah is Ghafoor. Don't worry about it. Just play. Right, just play. What matters is that you're playing the game. Right after that, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about? It seems like it's shifting to a completely different topic. الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the sky in different levels. So talking one time about Allah testing people, and now you're talking about the sky and creating in levels. Person says, where's the connection? Now think about it. When you look at the level, right, and you look at the different stratospheres that exist within that, the above the earth, or you even look at the different levels of the heaven, it's amazing. Subhanallah. Right, subhanallah. But when you look at that, and then you also recognize that levels exist. Right, levels exist. In the same way that levels exist in the sky, one is higher than the other, in the same way some people are also going to be higher than the other. Right? And who would not want to be in the highest tier? Who does not want to be in the highest level? Who does not want to be in the highest Jannah? الذي خلق سبع سماوات طباقا. ما ترى في خلق. Now a person might also think that, well, you know, if we're competing towards good deeds, then we'll always be trying to put the other person down and there'll be dissension. But we spoke about how this is not the case. Actually, the more that we go in the right way, and the more we go in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and dedicate towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will see a type of unity, a type of harmony that cannot, that sort of, I mean, it's amazing. In the same way, look at, and you just, it's just a lesson to be taken from the sky. Every time you look at the sky, now you can take a lesson. الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَنِ مِنْ تَفَاوُتٍ. You do not see in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala any type of ikhtilaf, any type of dissension, any type of fighting. Do you see one layer of the sky fighting with another? Everyone just gets along. There's harmony. Right? It's beautifully placed. Everything is exactly how it should be. ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت فرج البصر. Look again. If you have any doubt, go back, look again. هل ترى من فطور. Do you see any type of شقاق? Do you see any type of split in the sky? No. Everything just blends. Even though one may be over the other. Is exactly, I mean, look in Jannah, right? There will be some people, right, who the people who had done so many good deeds, the people will look up, right, and there'll be people who had done so many good deeds, and people will look up to them, and they will be in the higher maqams of Jannah. And the way that we look up and look at the stars, it'll be such that we'll see those people shining as stars. Now, when you look at the stars, what happens? Does anyone wish that, oh, I'm a star, or do they just admire the beauty of the star, and it adds beauty to their own life, right? They just feel happy. Oh, look at it, it's a star-lit night, and they feel happy. It's a moonlit night, they feel happy. It adds to their joy. There's no hasad there. No one thinks, oh, I should be a star. They just say, oh, it's beautiful. I'm happy that there's stars in the sky. In the same way, when the mu'mineen, one is above another, one is above another, we admire them, we love them, and it adds beauty to our own lives. It adds beauty to our own lives. فَرَجِئِ الْبَصَرَ هَلْ تَرَ مِنْ فُطُورِ ثُمَّ رَجِئِ الْبَصَرَ كَرَّتَيْنِ يَنْقَلِبْ إِلَيْكَ الْبَصَرُ خَاسِئًا وَهُوَ حَسِيرٌ. And then Allah subhanAllah, I mean, the Quran is amazing. What does Allah SWT say in the very next ayah? وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيهَا. And Allah SWT has beautified the heavens with stars. Right? The word really, بِمَصَابِيهَا, with its lamps. Right? Meaning with the stars. So, I mean, every ayah of the Quran, every word of the Quran is placed so beautifully. It's really just, you know, it takes a person is just taken aback by how beautiful it is. So what is the take-home message from this week? Right, the take-home message from this week is that, you know, a lot of people are competitive about so many things, whether it's something as silly as a video game or as silly as getting the highest score in the class. Right, like I was speaking to my wife earlier this week on the dinner table, and she was telling me how, you know, in the Middle East when they used to live there, that the parents would actually hide, you know, what the students were studying from the other students, because if they knew that the other people were to find out that they were studying hard, then they will put their efforts more, and then they might get a higher score on the exam, right? So they literally, you know, hide their efforts so that no one can get above them. So when people make so much competition, whether it be about their grades, what medical school they go to, where, you know, what type of house they have, what car they drive, you know, whatever it may be, then it would behoove us that we take the game of the deen, so to speak, which is not a game, right? Because it's the ultimate reality, seriously. And we try to score not only a lot of points, but the best points that we can. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are at the highest levels, and may make us amongst those who are the stars in the akhirah. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.